This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Using monthly live storytelling events, documentary videos, and community engagement, Cincy Stories works to build relationships in our communities. Last year, with a grant from the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation, the organization launched a Street Stories website and a story gallery located in a Walnut Hills storefront. This year, Cincy Stories is expanding to three more neighborhoods, starting with the opening of a story gallery in Price Hill on Friday. And joining us to discuss the project are Cincy Stories Executive Director Sean Braley, Creative Director Chris Ashwell, and Price Hill Will Community Engagement Coordinator Samantha Conover. You can join us 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chris, Samantha, and Sean, thank you for being here this afternoon. Good to see everybody.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Sean, give us a little more background. I mean, you've been on to talk about this before, but I want to back up because it's a neat story. How did this whole thing come about in the first place?
Yeah, so we started this all as just a live event, actually. And so we were inspired by things like The Moth, which is here on NPR, and StoryCorps, This American Life. We were inspired by these stories that we were hearing, and we wanted to be able to see what would happen if people were sharing stories from the city that you live in, so you could be connected to those people. So we started with just the mission of building community through story, through these live events. And Chris is a documentary filmmaker. And so as we got rolling, he was like, well, what if we started like expanding past these live events that we were doing at Motor Pub and started making these documentary films so that way people could see them online. We could get a wider reach maybe with these stories. And then through that, we wanted to kind of like live our mission even better by going to neighborhoods. Because when you're doing a storytelling event and it's citywide, you know, Cincinnati has, you know, so many hundreds of thousands of people in it. And so we're only able to capture 100 people at one time. So if we can go to like a neighborhood and dig deeper into these stories, get our hands dirty with the work of engaging the community with storytelling and trying to actually build community right there in front of us, we saw that that could be really powerful. So we talked to the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation about an idea we had about just doing events there. And then they were like, well, we've also seen these documentaries that you've done. We really like the documentaries and we'd love to see how that could work together. And so they had this free storefront there in the new Treveran Flats right there on East McMillan. And they invited us to use that. They gave us some a grant to do some work there in the neighborhood. And we got going with it, and we were just dreaming up ways that we could engage the community. And we dreamt up this idea, this project we're calling Street Stories. So we still do the live events at Motor. We still do some neighborhood-focused stuff, and it's all kind of happening. We put a lot of our focus into the Street Stories project. And so last summer, we were able to go to Walnut Hills, gather 20 stories, both on video, audio, and photo essays about individuals who live in that neighborhood, and do it all through the Story Gallery, which is the space that you mentioned earlier. There in Walnut Hills.
Yeah, Chris, how many stories have you gathered so far? Have you kept track of that number?
So in all, we are well over 100 stories through various forms of media, but we also collect a lot of stories just without the cameras or the microphones on. So in our story gallery, we have some really amazing examples and some really great stories that we heard just sitting around a cup of coffee. So with the Street Stories Project, though, in particular, we're collecting at least 20 stories in each neighborhood, at least 10 documentaries, video documentaries, some radio documentaries, and some photo essays.
What are the benefits of doing this?
So, you know, we believe that relationships are key to community, and the key to relationships are stories. We're story animals. It's how we communicate. Even if it's just a story, you know, I took the wrong way to work today and I got stuck in traffic. You know, that's a story. That's how we communicate. That's how we talk to one another. It's how we share our lives. And one of my favorite quotes, and I forget who said it, but it's we don't fear whose story. We don't fear those whose stories we know. So if you know someone else's story, it's a lot harder to be afraid of them. And then it makes conversations that we need to have, which there's a lot of hard conversations in our communities that have to be had. It makes those conversations a lot easier when you feel like you can see yourself in somebody else.
Mm-hmm. We've got several examples of stories. Let's listen to some of these. Betty Waite is the first one we have in line.
I was grocery shopping with a friend of mine. We just arrived at the grocery store and I put my hand on the handle to open the door to get out, and she goes, Betty, before we go in, I need to tell you something. I'm like, okay. She says, I heard a rumor that Jeff is leaving you for a man. I'm like, what? That's ridiculous. And we went in. We went grocery shopping. And but we're walking around, and I'm thinking about what she said, and maybe I should talk to Jeff about this.
Yeah, yeah. So Betty is part of the she's works for the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation. That's how we originally met her and got connected with her. But in some short conversations with her, we found that she had a part of her life that really was a kind of unique story, and that is that she was married to a man who came out as gay after, I don't remember the number of years married, but they had kids who were, you know, in their teens at this point. So they've been married for a long time. So getting to hear that story, something that I've obviously never personally experienced, but getting to hear somebody else's story on that level was a really, like, the fact that she was willing to share it with us and share it with the entire community, to open yourself up that way.
Yeah, I wonder how difficult that was for her to do this.
She seemed pretty at peace with it. It was what she wanted to share with us. So, you know, now other people in the community are able to see, to hear that story and know that about her. And that can create some really amazing relationships.
Yeah, yeah. If you think about it, she's an accountant that works for the CDC in the neighborhood. She's a middle-aged white woman. When you see her, you might automatically have a specific judgment about who she is. Then you hear that story, and then you're like, oh, there's a whole other facet. There's layers here that we wouldn't have known without hearing your story.
Yeah, and you talk about facets. I bet you get that with a lot of the stories. You find all these different facets about people's lives.
Of course, yeah. And so stories that we've captured, but also stories that we've heard in the storefront. Like, Walnut Hills is a beautiful community, and I already thought that when we went in, but just hearing the stories of the people, whether they were accountants or whether they were drug dealers, getting to hear the stories of these people has totally been a paradigm shift for me.
Everybody has a story. I guess that old cliche is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to quote Ira Glass, he says, great stories happen to those who can tell them. So that means that great stories happen to everybody. You just have to be empowered to share them.
Okay. How do people submit the stories, Chris?
So they can submit them online. If they go to CincyStories.net, there's a button that says submit your story, and you can submit it through that. We also encourage people to come out to our story galleries. So we have the Walnut Hills location, which has kind of varying hours right now, but it typically like Wednesday through Saturday. And then our Price Hill location will be opening up soon as well.
Yeah, and Samantha, what's your reaction to having this come to Price Hill? What do you think of that?
I'm very excited, especially since it's going to be only the second gallery opening. I'm very happy that they've chosen Price Hill to be their second neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And Sean, you said something interesting too. You mentioned drug dealers have actually come to you to tell their stories.
Yeah, yeah. So wow. When we first opened up in Walnut Hills, there was a lot of trust that we needed to build with people for them to be willing to share their story. And so these guys, they hung out across the street from the old Kroger, there in Walnut Hills, and they just kind of like loitered there. And they eventually started popping into our space because we had water, we had coffee, we had air conditioning. It was summertime, and they would just pop in, but they didn't really want to tell their stories. They were kind of, they thought we were this elaborate sting operation that was trying to find out things that they were doing, like we were the cops. And so when we're telling them like, hey, we want to hear your story, we would love to film your story, we'd love for you to go in our story booth and share your story. They're like, oh no.
I would have loved to have seen the look on their faces when you said this. Yeah.
Yeah, we had people yell at us because of that. And it wasn't until, so we have a little like living room space. We call it like grandma's living room. We have this antique furniture in there and it's just really comfortable looking. And it wasn't until a guy named Max, who is one of the part of this crew of gentlemen, he has face tattoos and the cornrows and everything. And he came in one night and he didn't really seem to be enjoying himself. And we were all sitting around sharing stories. And we actually have these things called story starters in our space too, that just are like prompts to share a story. So the story starter for this specific moment was share a story about a time you were accused of something you didn't do. And so we're all going around sharing trivial stories, then just laughing about them. And it gets to Max and he's like, can I share my story? And we were like, yeah, sure, go for it. And he said, I was accused of a murder and incarcerated for a murder that I didn't commit. And so he was in jail for, I think, 9 to 10 months. And this was, you could tell, like, freeing for him to start telling the story and have us listen and have us care for him. So much so that he was like, would I be able to tell this story in that booth? And so he went in the story booth and he told the story, and then we put it on our TVs in the space, and people can come watch stories on our TVs that we filmed. And he would bring people in, and they started to build trust because they were like, oh, you heard Max's story, and now he's empowered to tell his story. And now he came to us like a week after that, and he said, not only did I like want to share this story on the TVs, but is there a way I can go to schools? Can you guys connect me to somebody to where I can get connected to schools so I can share my story with these kids? Because I look like their dads. I look like their uncles. I look like their brothers. And I always had people coming to my school lecturing me that didn't look like me and didn't relate to me. And so he was empowered after sharing his story to do something about it.
Well, let's hear another story. This is George Smith.
When I got paid my first check, I said, this is the greatest thing in the world because I get paid for something I love. So how good could that be? That was wonderful. I got to travel. I got to meet a lot of great players. I met players like Willie Mays, Ted Williams. I met Mookie Wilson, Ray Knight, Eric Davis. I met a lot of great players. But when I had that car accident, it changed everything for me.
So yeah, George Smith is a fantastic person. He's become a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, and my family's. But George played professional baseball. He played for the New York Mets minor league team. And the day that he got a phone call that he was going to get a chance to try out for the majors, he was in a car accident, and he's been in a wheelchair ever since. So hearing that story, it obviously has a pretty kind of tragic ending, but that wasn't the ending. You know, at the end, he said, I believe that I was meant to play to learn how to play, but I was meant to teach kids, and I want to teach kids in the neighborhood. But unfortunately, Walnut Hills hasn't had a Little League, and George is obviously limited mobility, but there hasn't been a Little League in 30 years that was sponsored by a local business. And we obviously saw a lot of businesses coming into Walnut Hills. So we started to put George's story out there, and we were showing the story at our story gallery. Jacob Trevino, who owns the Video Archive, which is this speakeasy next door to our space, he came in and he watched George's video, and immediately after he came up to us and he said, I'm in, let's do this for George. And so now there was some kind of jealousy amongst the other businesses, honestly. And so they all want to start a team. And so now they're in the process of forming a Little League for a neighborhood that hasn't had any Little League in 30 years.
Wow. But let's hear Herb Allen's story.
But I convinced my dad that he should take me up and enroll me in the school that's across from that church. And he did. He brought me up there. Okay? And we went to the school, and the school sent us across the street to the parish house, which was next door to the church. And he talked to my dad, and he offered my dad money, cab fare, to send me downtown to a black Catholic school. There were none in Walnut Hills.
Yeah, Herb's story. Herb's 94 years old. He's lived in Walnut Hills for 90 years. And he has an amazing life. I probably don't have time to recount all the stories. We talked to him for about an hour and a half, and we have countless stories. We still have all that we have so many stories from him. And that was just a story where he shared about how his dad wouldn't take cab fare for him to be sent to an all-colored school. He had to go, or he wanted to be in part of this integrated school because he was Catholic. He was passionate about his Catholicism as like a 13-year-old kid, and he wanted to go to this school. And his dad was like, I'm not going to get you sent away to this school that's going to basically be saying like you're less than. And so he ended up going to public school, and he just respected his dad so much from that. So that story, I mean, there's so much power behind it. And if you listen to it on the website, there's so much to it too.
Now, where's the Story Gallery in Price Hill going to be?
So the Story Gallery in Price Hill is on Warsaw Avenue. It's 3116 Warsaw. It's right next to, if anybody knows where the My Cincinnati Orchestra, the firehouse, the Warsaw Avenue firehouse is. We're right next to that.
Mm-hmm. Samantha, you hoping that the Price Hill is going to benefit greatly from having this project come in?
Yeah, I definitely think so. One, because economically, Warsaw Avenue is the East Price Hill's business district. So being able to bring some more business and more foot traffic to this business corridor is going to be great for more people to come in and see that things are happening along this corridor and want to be a part of that. And then also getting more people engaged in the community. Price Hill is huge. I'm talking about East, West, and Lower Price Hill, which is about 33,000 people we're trying to connect with. And there's all these different groups, very diverse, and trying to bring them all together and share their stories with one another.
And there are two more neighborhoods yet to come?
So it's a three the three Price Hill neighborhoods. So Lower Price Hill,
East,
and West.
Three different parts of Price Hill. Mm-hmm. All right. And Price Hill itself, the story gallery that you're opening, what kind of hours will it keep?
We'll be open from Wednesday to Saturday from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, Chris, Samantha, and Sean, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Cincy Stories Executive Director Sean Braley, Creative Director Chris Ashwell, and Price Hill Will Community Engagement Coordinator Samantha Conover. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. Pete Reitmeyer was the producer for today's show. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney.